on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Ah, too right it is. At 28 to 11, coming out of the machine, Hammond as well as Dave Carlson. Morning, Dave.
Cozzy, good morning to you. Just let me ask you at the start, how was the Taree Gold Cup weekend for you?
Mate, it was fantastic. Went up there Saturday night. Max Personal and I were guest speakers at the Calcutta and we had a ton of fun.
Good stuff.
Everything we said was the truth too.
Yeah, I've only got two words to say to that, Cozzy. Yeah, good.
Yeah, righto. It was a great night.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Well, folks, welcome along to Going Greyhounds. Dave Carlson with you. My thanks to Stuart Turner and Timmy Newbold for hosting the show while I was away. I kept in touch via podcast on the Sky Racing website, and the boys did an outstanding job, and certainly a great deal of thanks to them. Now, while I was on holidays, submissions in relation to Victoria's Code of Practice closed, with more than 1,200 received for the Andrews Labor government to consider, with animal welfare a priority in the industry, which contributes more than $400 million a year to the Victorian economy and employs almost 3,000 people. So we'll be following that one closely. In very exciting news, the state-by-state build-up to the Nationals have been completed, with the finals to be hosted by Brisbane's Albion Park this coming Friday night. The Agra National Awards are going to be held the evening before. That's on Thursday night this week. And I personally cannot wait to get to Bris Vegas for them. Albion Park boss Luke Gatehouse will be joining us shortly. And on Friday night for the Nationals, I'll be trackside at the Creek. Last Friday night, seven terrific heats of the Group 2 Blacktop were run at the Gardens in Newcastle, with local conditioner Jason McKay dominating ahead of Victoria's Shona Thompson, and Jace is going to be a guest this morning as well. We'll also put in a call to a young race caller, breeder and trainer, James Vandermeer, who I'm delighted to announce will be my new co-host of The Catching Pen, which returns tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. James is a gun, and he's a tremendous addition to the pen. So really looking forward to speaking with Jay Vandermeer coming up shortly. But first up on the show today, with the latest on the ongoing saga in Canberra, where the Labor government is set to ban greyhound racing after June 30 next year, is ACT Club spokesman Kel Watt. Now, Kel, thanks for your time. When we spoke last, back in June, you told us that the ACT government was required by law to conduct an inquiry before going ahead and banning greyhound racing. Has that happened?
It hasn't, Dave. And good morning to all the listeners. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Bris Vegas as well, mate. So we'll be able to swap a couple of stories, I'm sure.
Good.
But no, the good news, I suppose, for listeners is that we continue our battle down here. And part of the reason we're digging our heels in the ACT to preserve the industry here is, firstly, because of a 38-year unblemished record means we don't deserve to be shut down, and the debate being pushed forward about animal welfare simply doesn't hold water. But secondly, we understand that the ACT, as far as the greyhound racing industry is concerned, is seen as the low-hanging fruit and is a very easy target for the extremists that want to actually attack the industry. So by holding back the tide in Canberra, we're actually going to be doing every state jurisdiction a good deed by making sure the industry can survive nationally. Because if we fall, the big worry, of course, is we're just the first domino, and the blueprint will be set for how to successfully dismantle the industry, regardless of any state's record and performance. Now, the legislation you referred to required that the government couldn't take any action to deny the ACT greyhound racing industry its ability to race, unless the recommendation was made by the local gambling and racing commission once an inquiry had been conducted. That hasn't taken place. The government has instead announced that they're going to be putting forward a change to legislation to push a ban through. So we, in response, are actually more steeled than ever to actually take this fight forward legally. And if it means that a deal can't be nutted out, and we're still very happy to sit at the table and negotiate with the government, by the way, but they're digging their heels in from their end. So it looks like we are headed for the courtroom, unfortunately.
Well, Curly, in the interest of balance and fairness, I did put in a written and phone submission back in June to the ACT Attorney General Gordon Ramsay to appear on the show. I haven't heard back from him at this stage. The $1 million annually that the ACT government provided to the greyhound industry was set to end 7 weeks ago on June 30. Has that happened?
That has indeed happened. So to put that into some context for your listeners as well, it's not a gift and it's not a grant that the government gives the ACT industry. So don't feel that your own state might be, you know, doing you a bit of harm by not opening up their budget dollars. Previously in the ACT, there was a government-owned gambling agency called ACTAB, and that then was sold and went into private ownership. What the government did during its processes for building toward that privatisation was look at the money that had previously been channeled from through Racefield's income from ACTAB toward the industry, and not just the ACT greyhound industry, but also thoroughbred and harness racing, to make sure that the local race codes weren't harmed. There was an independent inquiry and there was recommendations that the funding that had previously been channeled that way was adopted into the budget. So the ACT government receives money from the different gambling organisations, they keep their cut, and the $8 million that is channeled, $6 million to thoroughbred, $1 million to harness, and $1 million to greyhounds, is what we see as a property right. It's money that we were receiving previously and that we should continue to receive because of the product that we provide for gambling agencies around the world and nationally. So the framework that this current debate has got itself into, though, is that the Greens and opponents of the industry are saying, well, that's government funding, it's taxpayer dollars and it's a subsidy or a grant, when in fact it's not. So we intend to fight that. We believe it's a property right. And in fact, the government has just signed in the last week, perhaps 10 days, a new five-year agreement with Harness and Thoroughbred Racing Industries, a $7 million deal, which will probably see our guests, $6 million go to Thoroughbred and $1 million go to Harness. So they recognise that the good work that that money was doing for the greyhound industry, as well as the other two codes, is vital to be maintained in the other racing industries. So that actually puts us on a strong legal footing as well.
Now, look, I don't really like to say this, Kill, but look, let's just say hypothetically, we'll look at the worst case scenario. The ACT Labor government, with the support of the Greens, is successful in banning greyhound racing in the ACT. How optimistic would you be then that a new track could be built just up the road in Queanbeyan, a proposal that was originally mooted a few months back by New South Wales Deputy Premier and the member for Monaro, John Barilaro?
Yeah, it was. And there is some confidence there, and I'll have to go through this in a little bit of detail. And I know I could chew up your whole program and barely scratch the surface of it, so it's going to have to be a little bit of a crash-through course. But we need to exhaust our legal options, as I said, part at the beginning of our chat, partly because we want to protect the industry nationally, and by holding strong in the ACT, we make sure the other smaller states and eventually the bigger states don't come under attack. But we have several steps to go through. So a track in Queanbeyan can't appear overnight. The ACT greyhound racing industry has got a lot of options. So even if we are shut down and we exhaust that all our legal fights, those legal fights will take some time. So we're talking about the property right. We're talking about some constitutional issues. We also are going to be challenging some of the things that appeared in the McHugh report. So the New South Wales industry will potentially benefit from our legal action. But even right through to Section 92 of the Constitution, so for those legal buffs out there, that refers to free trade across state borders. And for the purpose of gaming and racing, the ACT is considered a state. So we feel that, you know, it's actually going to be unconstitutional to boot us out anyway. But even then, 2-3 years down the track from now, if those legal options are exhausted, we are in the very fortunate position at this stage that there is been a safety net put forward, been proposed by John Barilaro, the Deputy Premier and leader of the Nationals. We're very grateful for that, but there's a lot of work to go into that. Firstly, there's going to be approval of the land. If we move in with a thoroughbred track, there's going to be some adjustments made there. If we move to the greenfields, that's going to cost a lot of money. And even though the New South Wales government has some money on the table, I'm sure that there's race courses and other clubs around New South Wales that would hate to see potentially their share of some of the capital investment go to a new club in Queanbeyan, even though it's effectively just replacing the track that a majority of New South Wales trainers are using in the ACT. So by pursuing legal options in the ACT, we do want to protect the ACT industry as well as nationally, but we also might see that appropriate compensation is then provided by the ACT government to give us the kitty to actually set up properly in Queanbeyan, because we want to make sure it's a world-class facility. We want to make sure that we provide a product and a bit of infrastructure that's going to serve the region well, not step on anybody's toes in New South Wales or elsewhere. And you can imagine we're looking at 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. So I'd encourage your listeners to be positive and have that in your back pocket, but don't see it as an easy solution, because there's no guarantees around it, and it's certainly not going to be an overnight solution either.
Well, Kel, the wheels of justice, they turn slowly. Things take a long time. Court cases can take a number of years from when they're first listed. If you go down the path, and the path that you said, you have to exhaust all legal avenues, would that take you past the June 30 date next year?
Oh, very easily. Very easily. So again, we're looking at a number of options about how we continue racing. So we're very lucky that we've got really good relationships with people in Goulburn, people in the Monaro region, also throughout the Riverina. If there is some consolidation of the industry in New South Wales, and look, I'm not here to speak on behalf of any club or any representative of New South Wales, but you know, Canberra is an option for them. We want to, you know, longer term, make sure that, you know, our future is also a future for any of the smaller clubs throughout the southeast New South Wales region. The first battle for us to retain funding and to pursue that property right, we expect that will take the best part of 12 months. We haven't even seen what the draft legislation to ban the industry in the ACT is. The first opportunity for the government to put that forward was the week before last, as they came back from their winter recess. There's another sitting week this week and a couple more coming up over the next month. We will expect it to drop without any notice. That seems to be the way this government works. Their announcements about the industry happen without any consultation. So we are looking at the notice papers of the local ACT Assembly on a daily basis to see if and when it drops. But that next step, so the first legal battle is about funding. That started. The second legal battle to fight any proposed banning, we can't even start that yet because there's no action to be taken until that legislation appears. Beyond that, and any other legal options we've got to pursue, it's all hypothetical at this stage, mate.
Well, Kel, we'll continue to follow the saga with interest and with passion. And thanks so much again for joining us, and I'll see you in Brisbane later in the week.
Looking forward to it. And a big shout-out. I do want to acknowledge the great support work that's going on around the country from the leadership of the various jurisdictions to support the ACT industry. Deeply appreciated, and we'll be up there seeing it from tomorrow onwards and see what we can do to work together to fight, keep the ACT up and running and protect the industry nationally as well.
Cheers, Kel. We thank Kel Watt, the spokesperson for the ACT Greyhounds. All the best for joining us on Going Greyhounds. Well, folks, I can tell you excitement is building in the Sunshine State and around the nation with this Friday night's national sprint and distance finals at Albion Park in Brisbane. You'll see all of the action on Sky Racing and hear it on Sky Sports Radio. As they say, it's state against state, it's mate against mate. And speaking of mates, the boss of Albion Park Greyhounds, Luke Gatehouse, is on the line. Luke, good morning. Are you ready to roll?
Morning, Disco. We are as ready as we can ever be up here. Really looking forward to the week.
Now, Luke, Brisbane's hosting the final for the first time since 2011, when the locals ruled with Metz Magic and the great Dashing Corsair winning the respective sprint and distance deciders. That's going to be pretty hard to top, but knowing your Queenslanders, you're going to go mighty close.
Well, Dave, home ground advantage plays a lot, particularly in the sprint final, not so much in the stayers. And really looking forward to this stayers race because it's probably the best one that's been put together for a long time at the nationals level.
Well, let's start with the distance final. Albion Park Gold Cup champ and $2.50 tab fix favourite Fanta Bale is in one, a box where he's won 5 from 6 and was placed on the other occasion, while fellow Victorian and Super Stayers winner Burn One Down is in 7, same box at Burn One Down 1. The Super Stayers from, and is the $2.72 favourite. South Australia's Bogey Beckham, owned by Albion Park CEO Les Bynes, in 2. Ebby Ripper for New South Wales in 3. WA's Ramifications 4. Shima Sun from the Apple Isle in 5. With Queensland reps Big Easy Red and $4.40 Third Elect Outside Pass in 6 and 8 respectively. Now, look, the squeeze box dogs in 4 and 5 are the only competitors yet to race at the Creek, which really augurs for another race for the ages.
Yeah, it certainly does. And track experience, it does count a lot at Albion Park. And Fanta Bale drawing the red really says to me that if she's on song in the Fanta Bale, we know she'll be extremely hard to beat in this race. And, you know, around that 250, 275, she'll give you a great sight. There's a bit of speed from Big Easy Red. An outside pass, she's just been an absolute revelation. She's only had the two runs over the distance, and she's been very impressive in both of those, the heat and the final, the Queensland distance. And, you know, I have a theory that great sprinters that can stay are the ones that become great stayers. And you look at Fanta Bale, she's won over the sprint, the middle distance and the long distance, and she's one of the best we've ever seen. Outside pass, you need to remember 12 months ago she was a finalist in the Melbourne Cup. She was our sprint rep in the national sprint in Adelaide last year.
Yep.
And I just think this is going to be one for the ages.
Well, I'll tell you what, Luke, Tony Appap, that big smile will become even bigger if outside pass can win from the pink.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've cuddled a few big fellas in my time, but I'd really like to give him a hug on Friday night.
Now, Luke, with the exception of the locals who had their state final last Thursday night, there's been a bit of a gap for the visitors prior to this Friday night's finals in terms of racing, but they've had the opportunity to trial at Albion Park since. So any of the chases of the interstate chases have stood out to you in their trials?
The two Victorian sprinters have stood out. In terms of the stays, we saw ramifications go around in a solo last week. He'll need to lift his game from there. Everyone else in that field, they've been around. Shimmer Sun, I think she goes around tonight over a shorter distance just to have a look at the track. In terms of the sprinters, Bewilding and Aston DB, they went box to box last Tuesday and both were very impressive. Beacon Street and Gold Lenny will need to improve their box manners if they're to be competitive in the race.
Well, as you mentioned, the Victorian Kennelmates, Aston DB in the 8th, the $3 tab fix favourite, Bewildering in 7, $5.50 fix. Very strong chances in the national sprint final with the $5 third pick. South Australia's On Fire in 1. Cameron going for back-to-back in the nationals there. You've got locals Gonna Do Rev and $3.70 second favourite Jury in 2 and 3 respectively. WA's Max Profit in 4. Beacon Street for New South Wales. Go the Blues in 5. And Tassie's Gold Lenny in the green rug. So plenty of burn early out wide too, Luke.
Yeah, and given that Beacon Street and Gold Lenny were both tardy out of the boxes in their respective trials, it actually gives the 7 and the 8 both better chances than I was giving them on Friday when the box draw was done. I still think Jury, the local, will be extremely hard to beat. It will depend on Max Profit, how he gets out, because he won't have trialled at the track. And On Fire, who goes around tonight, likes to use a bit of room on the track, so we'd like to see Jury get away well. And if you're running 29.75 in front, you are going to be very hard to run down the national sprint final. I think he's good value. And if you'd asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was probably Tony Brett's fourth stringer coming into the nationals.
Yeah. Well, a few of them, 30 talks was slowly away on Thursday night, and Jury did it. So we certainly wish Tony Brett all the best, great bloke that he is. Now, Luke, you're renowned for putting on a great show for on-track patrons. I was there not so long ago. You had a bloke who looked just like Keith Urban. I could have sworn it was him playing. You've had another solo singer. What have you got lined up for Friday night at Albion Park?
Yeah, it's really a focus on the Greyhounds this week with two big finals. So we'll really be focusing on the racing side of it. Our marquee area, which is where the finalists function will be, it's pretty well sold out now. I think we've got over 200 in there.
Wow.
But we've got everything set up in our Bris Vegas theme upstairs as well for the general public. We've got a $20 meal special on for people who are coming, and Scotty Watman, who was that soloist you were talking about that had the crowd singing along to the horses and You're the Voice at our Superstars night, he'll be back again on Friday night.
Fantastic, Luke. Now, 24 hours earlier, the Agra National Awards are going to be handed down at a big night at the Stamford Plaza Hotel where the box draw took place. There's going to be three big gongs decided, the big ones, the Australian Greyhound of the Year, the Trainer of the Year, and the Run of the Year. So Brisbane really is going to be the jewel in the national crown.
Yes, and it's a big night as well. We've got a room that holds so many, and I think you and I are going to be sitting out on the veranda, Disco, because it's been an overwhelming response to the Nationals dinner. It's the second big night on our week of the National Conference and the National Finals. So I've got about 170 in a room that doesn't hold that many at the moment. So, yeah, you and I out in the cheap seat somewhere.
That's all right. Well, well, it'll be nice and warm in Brizzy, so there'll be no problem sitting outside. Just if you can get Bundaberg Rum to sponsor me again, I'd appreciate it, Luke.
Yeah, they're coming to the party for you, Disco, and they might even help me out.
Oh, you beauty, the nectar of the gods. Luke Gatehouse, thank you for joining us on Going Greyhound. See you later in the week.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Look forward to seeing you Thursday.
Good on you, Luke. Luke Gatehouse here, the boss of Albion Park. Greyhounds, the Nationals, they're not far away, only a few more sleeps. Well, folks, Friday night just gone in Newcastle. Seven heats of the Group 2 Blacktop were contested, and it was champion Hunter Valley conditioner Jason McKay who took the honours, winning three heats with Mr. Twister, the fastest qualifier, in 29 and 53, Riley Tokam in 29 and 73, and Zipping Chang in 29 and 78. Shona Thompson was next best with a double Aston Bolero, 29-78, Aqua Cheetah, 29 and 81. The other winners were 2J for Daryl Chapman in 29 and 84, and Michael Bambach's Kyra Miss, while Ronnie Lord's Lord Jack is going to line up in the final after being the fastest second. The box draw is Aqua Cheetah in 1, Aston Bolero 2, Lord Jack 3, Riley Tokam 4, Kyra Miss 5, Mr. Twister 6, 2J in 7, Zipping Chang in 8, the reserves, Royal Turbo and Barking Bad. Jason McKay joins us now. Jace, congrats on the treble. Let's start with Mr. Twister. 5 from 5 now at the Gardens, and he ran home powerfully from box 1, not too far off his personal best.
Yeah, day, thanks for having us, mate. That was a very windy day that day at the Gardens, and I think he qualified about 3 lengths quicker than any of the other runners. But Dave, that was a hell run on a real bad windy day. So all things equal this week, and a clean getaway, I think he's going to be up running second at the first corner and should put himself in a good spot from there.
Well, he moves from box 1 to 6 in the final, Jay. So what are your thoughts on the decider? You've got Aston Bolero for Shona is the expected leader out of the checks.
Exactly right. He hasn't won 53 races because he's not a good beginner. He's one of them dogs. He's faultless early. He's got that real good high speed and certainly knows his way out of find a line. But just depends on Mr. Twister from the 6. Not a great draw, but I just think on his section and his local knowledge, Dave, he might get straight to second. And if that's the case, he should be hard to beat from there.
What about Riley Tokam from the 4, Jason? I thought his performance in the heats was super, super solid.
Yeah, exactly right, Dave. He's won his last 3. He won a couple at Winnie in 29.77 and 29.80. So he's right around the mark there grade-wise. He's another one that's had 8 starts at the Gardens for 7 wins in a second. So he likes the place as well. But Dave, off box 1, he's much better boxed in the middle of the track because that's how he races. He wanted to shift the other day from the 1, wanted to move a bit and got tangled up and drugged down a couple of times and forced his way to the front up the back and then drew clear. So it's not a disadvantage to 4 for him. I think it is an advantage for him, to tell the truth.
Jace, Zipping Chang moves from the inside to the 8. Is that a concern for you?
It's probably the main concern. Probably not so much the box. It's only that he's a low grader. He's only had the 10 starts for 5 wins. He's basically weren't long ago. He was a maiden, you know what I mean? So fast-wise, he's going to be given a bit away, but I've got a bit of an opinion of this dog, Chang. I think he's going to make into a nice free-for-all dog in time to come, but he just a magic sprite pup. He's a little bit highly strung and he's just taken a while to hit his strips and work things out, but nice dog, but not real sure what's going to happen out there, Dave, tell the truth.
Chase, you've basically got 5 in the final. You've been looking after Shona Thompson, her dog's at your Richmond Vale base, so you know she'll have to give you a bit of a sling if she gets up.
Yeah, I'll have to get a packet of chips or something out of the day for sure.
Well, or as you say, maybe some petrol money.
Yeah, as long as we find something there, mate, we get a bit of petrol money, everything will be right. But no, they're all fitting well. There's a few more days of galloping and that to do yet, but we'll just see what happens, mate. It's hard to, Dave, you could say the 4's going to win it, the 6 is going to win it, the red will win it. No, you'd probably be wrong. So we'll just play it by ear and see whatever happens will happen, mate.
Well, I wish you all the best, Jason. Just before I let you go, what are your thoughts on the Nationals on Friday night? Do you reckon New South Wales can give it a shot?
Well, I think we're going to struggle with New South Wales. To tell the truth, I think the Thompson Kennel's going to be very hard to beat. To stay in race, he's been up there and contributed well. He liked the track, and Jason Thompson's too, that he's got that Aston DB, and the other bloke who's made the final, he got the white card or something and made the final. They both know their way around there. So I think the Victorians might hold the key this year, mate.
All right. Well, we'll cheer the Blues, but I think you're probably pretty spot on there, Jace. Jason, look, thanks as always for giving us your time on Going Greyhounds, and all the best in the Group 2 Blacktop in Newey this coming Friday night.
Thanks for having us, Dave. All the best, mate.
Jason McKay, terrific trainer and even better bloke. Speaking of good fellas, I'm now very, very proud to announce our final guest this week on Going Greyhounds. He's one of a vintage crop of young race callers on Sky Racing. Gee, we've got some great young race callers, Lukey Marlowe, Mitch Manners, and the list goes on, Josh Fleming, Anthony Mant. If I've left anyone out, I do apologise. And this fella is also a greyhound breeder and a trainer, and I'm talking about James Vandermeer. As of tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2, he's going to be my new co-host on The Catching Pen. James, good morning.
Yes, a very good morning to you, Disco, and a very big introduction, mate. I hope I live up to it.
Oh, you will. You know your stuff, I tell you what. Some of my mates who love a punt, and there's about 5 million of them, they love following you on the dogs, James, and I think you'll be an absolutely perfect fit. And, of course, with Victoria being such a big greyhound state, you'll be really on the pulse for us.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of strength down here racing-wise in Victoria, and I do spend a lot of time going through the form guides, watching replays, mate, so I'm sure I can bring something to the show. And I'm really excited, of course, about the Nationals, which will be kicking off this upcoming Friday. That's the one race where the whole nation sort of becomes one and we all go head-to-head. And I think the Victorians have been pretty good in it over the last few years. But last time it was in Queensland, interestingly enough, the local greyhounds, I think it was Metz Magic and Dashing Corsair won. So they'll be looking to keep the Nationals at their home state, no doubt.
Indeed. Look, exciting second half of the year coming up in your state in Victoria. Of course, the Melbourne Cup, well, it needs no introduction. But what about the Speed Star? It's coming up. It's not far away. It's on Sunday, September the 10th. It starts at 5 o'clock. One of the races is going to be the tab.com.au, which we're very, very proud to sponsor. But the Speed Star, there's a brand new format with a lot more races this year, James.
Yes, it's the Speed Star at Sandown Park. I think it's been two or three running so far that you would have seen over the 515 metres, but it's been stretched out now to the three different distances, the 500, the 600 effectively, and the 700. So it's going to be plenty of match racing over all different distances. The fastest greyhounds around, of course, you have to set a time at that track and distance to then go into the running to be one of the fastest qualifiers. So look, that's going to be a bumper day of racing. There's no doubt about that. And, of course, that same day, the Hillsville Cup, which is a favourite of mine, being a local track down here in Victoria. But, as you said just a moment ago, the Blacktop up in New South Wales, there's so much good racing. It's just about every week, you know, you open up a paper and there's just a big race on somewhere. And, of course, the Melbourne Cup and Top Gun and all of those exciting races coming up here in Melbourne sort of at the November period.
And speaking of Victorians, I want to give the Hawk a big rap, Ronnie Hawks. Well, tremendous bloke, Ronnie. And the Victorian Awards just the other night, Ronnie got the Ken Carr Medal, which is considered to be the highest award for excellence within the Victorian greyhound racing industry. So we all take our hat off to the Hawk, James.
Yes, indeed. And look, there's no doubt excellence just fits Ronnie Hawks well. He's been a tremendous caller for a very long period. 40 years he's been in the game. Or has been in the game. He's, of course, still calling well. He's the voice of the Meadows here in Victoria. You couldn't have, written down a better script. He was just, at the time, so shocked, but so grateful. And, he's a truly humble man, a fantastic caller. But I think fair to say, and you'd probably agree, Disco, an even nicer guy.
Yes, absolutely. Hear, hear, James. The only thing that put a dampener on Ronnie's weekend was Hawthorn getting beaten by Carlton in the AFL, and I'm sure Eddie Caruana from the Meadows reminded the Hawk of that.
Oh, look, I don't think it would have made too much difference to the Hawks for the top eight. I think they were pushing pushing uphill to try and get to the top eight anyway. But yeah, look, the bragging rights, I guess, for the next 12 months or the next 6 months at least will be with Eddie. So he'll be sure to clip the hawk around the ears, although I called the Meadows Saturday. So I think Eddie might have to wait till next Saturday and the wounds may not be as fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to be in hiding from him myself on Thursday night, I can tell you that. Well, pardon me, James. Really excited that you're going to be in the seat beside me on the catching pen starting tomorrow evening. You're a fantastic appointment. We, of course, thank Dave Stanley, who's been doing the hosting over the last few months, for his contributions. But the seat will be there, ready and warm. The makeup will be there. And we're on and we're in action on Sky Racing 2, the catching pen, tomorrow night at 6:30. I can't wait, James.
No, I can't wait as well, Dave. It's going to be really exciting. Great to work alongside of you and a show that I've grown up watching. So to think I'm going to be on the chair, on the panel, it's a pretty crazy thought. So I do have to pinch myself every day to think it's happening. But no, really looking forward to it. Should be some great fun, mate. And hopefully for the punters out there, we do find plenty of winners throughout the next 12 months.
That is guaranteed. We thank James. James Vandermeer, race caller, breeder, trainer, and, of course, the new co-host of the Catching Pen on Sky Racing. Cozzy, I reckon that's going to be a pretty good fit.
Yep, too right, I will, Dave. We will talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Coz.
Good on you, mate. Dave Carlton joining us there.